The book of Ephesians, what a blessed, glorious book. Under the inspiration of God's Spirit, the Apostle Paul related in the first three chapters the glorious sovereignty of Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4, listen, how many times have we quoted this? And this evening I truly desire that we might behold Him. There's nothing else. There's no other message. The gospel is concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear of His glory. Tell me one more time how the Father hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians tells us who God is and what God Almighty has done for us in the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciling us back to Him. Peace had to be made between God and fallen man. And Christ has reconciled His people back to God. Paul the Apostle says, now be ye reconciled. And only in regenerating grace is that so. That God Almighty gives us a new heart and calls us to Himself, and gives us a hunger and a thirst to hear of Him. Chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians relates the effect of regeneration. That's the effect. We are not saved by works of righteousness that we've done. You know that. It's not what I've done for the Lord. You tell me one more time what God's done for me. You tell me how the Lord put away my guilt. How God chose to show mercy to me. How that salvation was an eternal purpose and decree and will of Almighty God. And in time He performed it. And did it through the preaching of the gospel. That He used the means of the gospel of God's free grace. And then tell me once again how the Scripture sets forth that believers are going to walk like believers. There's going to be an effect. There's going to be a walk that is consistent with the gospel that they believe. But they're not going to put any trust whatsoever in their works, in their efforts. They're going to walk after Christ. But they're going to do so by the grace of God. And all the while, they'll have no confidence in their flesh. In chapter 4, here's the foundation of our conversation. Here's the foundation of our walk before God. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring. Now listen to this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. I thank God that I can be with you tonight and that we can assemble ourselves together in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and be refreshed in our heart hearing of Him. Tell me of Him one more time. Tell me of Him. Here's His mercy, not to ever leave us alone. Now let me tell you what He's done for us in bringing us together to teach us. Verses 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. Now, the Scripture sets forth that the Lord's gifts to His people for their maturing, for their perfecting. Verse 11, He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He did this for the undertaking of the ministry and the establishing of what Almighty God was going to do for His people. He's going to perfect us. He's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel. We need to grow. But the only way we're going to grow is hearing of Him. This is the only message that the Spirit of God is going to bless. It's for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. How long is He going to do this? Well, look at verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come in the oneness of the persuasion and the full discernment of Christ till we see Him. Now, when's that going to be? Well, it's going to be when we see Him. Look at 1 John 3:2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, just stop for just a second and just muse on that. A man or woman that trust Him, that trust Him, not in any works that they've done, they trust Him. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. How are we? Now are we the sons of God. What are we? Being sons of God. In 1 John 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of Christ, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. An unbeliever, this old man, this old carnal nature with which we've all been born, and we all still have, it cannot not sin. It cannot not sin. That the old man cannot cease from sinning. But the Lord looked and saw that there were none righteous, that the wickedness of man was, every thought of his imagination was only evil. Every thought was only evil. You know what that meant? He could not sin. We have an old man that is absolutely wretched. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What death? That wretched man that I am. You've got two natures. And they are the opposite, Kevin, ends of the spectrum. One of them cannot not sin. And the other one doth not commit sin. He cannot sin because his seed remaineth in him. Brethren, now are we the sons of God, struggling in this world, warring, fighting. I mean, there's no mixing of these two natures. These two natures are absolutely opposed to one another. They war and strive. But till we all come in the unity, verse 13, to the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Don't be resembling children. Tossed to and fro, holding on to no fixed course. I mean, listen, man outside of Christ is a wayward, wandering man. Sheep. Carried about with every wind of doctrine, every doctrine of men. And that's dangerous. Dangerous. It's dangerous to not believe the gospel. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Is it bad to preach anything other than the gospel of God's free grace? It's soul damning. It's so damning to preach or to believe any other gospel. And this by the sleight of men, verse back in Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Now let me tell you, by the art of deception, by the sleight of men, playing upon men's carnal reasoning. They're playing games. But it's a deadly game. Deadly, deadly game. Whenever you hear a man stand up and lie on God and lie about men, and give men all the honor and the glory and the praise for what they've done, they always speak in such a way that it always appears as though that they're doing it out of love. We love people. If it's not the gospel of God's grace, let me tell you what they are. And recognize, I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. I was vividly reminded of it today. Whenever someone stands up and exalts man and completely ignores the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what's really happening. Now here is the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're going to say it in such a way to where they make it appear as though that they care. That they care. This is what it's going to come across. The sleight of men. Kind of like a little trick. Didn't even catch that, did you, Mark? See how it just didn't see it. Cunning craftiness. They lie in wait to deceive. The flood that comes out of Satan's mouth, which is a false gospel. And the purpose of that false gospel. Now, I've read that before. It's in Revelation 12. The purpose of the false gospel is to wash away the bride. To destroy the bride. The world helps the bride by God's power, God's grace to the bride, to the sheep, to the elect, to the church. And the earth opens up her mouth and swallows it. And God Almighty gives men what they want. That's what they want. He gives them. He gives them a lie. And they're helping, but the reason for false religion, if you want to know why there's so many different ones, God gives men what they want. You want a little variety? Pick the one you want. Pick your poison. That's just which one you. Which one sounds good to you? I told you years ago about Darvin Pruitt's nephew asked him. He said, "Darvin, you say that God is sovereign. They say that man is, you know, free will. How am I going to know the difference? How do I know?" Darvin told him, he said, "But for the grace of God, you won't. And but for the grace of God, you'll settle down in one of these false deceptions. You'll settle down right there, and you'll perish." That's right. Cunning craftiness. Now, having said all of that, bringing us to this verse 17 to 19, the Apostle Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Speaking to converted Gentiles. Now listen, this is for us tonight. Knowing what Almighty God has done for us. Chosen us, predestinated us, gave us gifts, gave us apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the faint, of the saints. Paul says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord." This is from the Lord. I'm telling you what I've received from the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. See? Before, men, all of us, we're all born like this. We had worthless thoughts in the vanity, vain, worthless thoughts about God. This is what we thought. We had worthless thoughts about God. That God wants to save this. God desires. Makes him a beggar. Worthless thoughts about ourselves. It's all up to you. The Lord's done all He can do. Really, He's not omnipotent. If He's done all He can do, and it's waiting on you. Worthless thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came into this world to make salvation possible. No. You call His name Jesus because you know what He's going to do? He's going to save His people from their sins. I love these shalls. He will. He will. He shall not fail. Men are born vain in their reasoning. That's the deceitfulness of our heart as we're born in Adam. Deceitful above all things. You think of all the things in this world that are deceitful. Liars. Liars. The thing that's the most deceitful is a human carnal heart. So the apostle exhorts. He said, "I've told you all these things, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." When we are, by the grace of God, through the power of God's Spirit, given life in Christ, we ought not walk or have our conduct and seek to find pleasure and happiness in this world. And we're all prone to do that. You know, I'm telling you. There's an old man there, and I'm telling you, that's what, you know, we're acting as though that this we're going to be here forever. And I'm telling you, I've said this before, this may be the last time that somebody in here ever hears the truth preached again. If it's me, Lord, have mercy on my soul. This world is fleeting. Psalm 39:5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Remember, I told you that it's just handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, now listen to this scripture. I saw something in this scripture that I'd never seen before. Verily, every man at his best state, settled state. I'm talking about a man that now has been settled down. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. There's not one thing that this man right here, that old wretched man that's still with me, sin is mixed with all that I do. Lord, as you say that there's a new man there that doesn't sin, Lord, I believe you. I believe you. But oh, how I don't see him. I don't see him. I know he's there. I know him, love him. But everything that I see that I do is mixed with sin. Then Paul continues his warning, verses 18, 19. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, had given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, it's not that men are born ignorant of the things of this world. It's not. Men are wise in evil things. But in spiritual things, their understanding is darkened. That's what he said. Having their understanding darkened. Paul says, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Men are alienated from the life of God because of sin. But this understanding of the life of God, a right and proper knowledge of God Himself, His will, His purpose, His sovereignty. Man is not born with that. Their understanding is darkened because of the ignorance that's in them, the blindness, the hardness of their heart. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. Now listen to this. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now the Lord is pleased to use Satan. It says here, they're blinded by the God of this world. The Lord is pleased to hide. And the Lord Jesus Christ thanked the Father that He had hidden these things from them. If it's God's will to hide, man's going to be hidden from seeing. He's not going to. If our gospel's hid, it's Him hid to them that are lost. They that are blinded in their minds by the God of this world, their minds are filled with nothing but the ignorance of Almighty God. They go through this world professing to know Him. They speak of Him. They speak as though they know Him. but by God Almighty's wise and omnipotent permission. Remember, God created Satan. The devil is God's devil. And Almighty God does as He will in the army of heaven. And He gives Satan permission and power to blind men's hearts as they're born in Adam. Satan can't keep the gospel from being preached in this world. He cannot keep God Almighty from saving. He's bound in His ability. Remember, it is the Lord who is all powerful. All power, the Lord Jesus Christ said, is given unto me, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. But Satan is the great blinder of carnal men. Blind. And concerning this gospel being hidden, you remember this. If Almighty God withholds, no man's going to see. No man will behold. Men said, I don't think that's fair. Well, let me ask you this. Shall the potsherds of this world speak against Jehovah? Who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Man's ignorance and darkness is man's fault. When Adam rebelled against God, he died spiritually. Is God unjust for allowing man to continue in what he wants to do? Friend, the safest place that you will ever find yourself is sitting under the sound of the truth. The truth alone is going to set a man free. David said, Psalm 119:10, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Lord again thanked the Father for hiding these things from the wise and prudent in themselves. To bow to His word is by the grace of God. If you believe the gospel, if I believe the gospel tonight, it's by God's grace that I do so. Why would the Lord show mercy to one such as I? Because it pleased Him to do so. Praise unto Him who said, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. If a man or woman perishes, it's because that's what they wanted. God is just. He'll give a man just exactly what he desires. To say that I will not have this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, to rule over me, if that's what a man wants, if that's what a woman wants, that's what they'll have. But if a sinner is rescued from the plague of his own rebellion, if Almighty God, in mercy and power, reaches down and gives that man a new heart, I'm going to give you a new heart. Now you think about this. No rebel against God ever asked for this before he got it. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to birth you again from heaven. I'm going to remove that heart of stone. I'm going to dethrone it. And sin's not going to have dominion over you. And I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people. And I'm going to teach you. And I'm going to mature you. And I'm going to send you a pastor. And they're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. And when you all come together, I'm going to meet with you. And my will is that where I am, there that's where you're going to be also. And all of these things All of these spiritual blessings, they're found in the Lord Jesus Christ for His merit, for His honor, for His glory, and for our eternal good. And knowing those things, I'll just read this to you. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, vain thoughts of God, vain thoughts of yourself, vain thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Brethren, this evening, we've not learned Christ that way. Let every one of us esteem the other better than themselves. Don't walk in the van. Don't walk as other Gentiles. You know, greediness. Esteem each other. Brethren, love one another. Pray for one another. For the glory of God. For the fellowship of the brethren. This is the bride of Christ. His body. His peace. Our peace. His comfort to us. Walk as believers. Lord, have mercy upon us here for Christ's sake.